Leon Black, the billionaire co-founder of Apollo Global Management, has long been tied to the Jeffrey Epstein scandal through massive payments and a close association that he himself has called a horrible mistake. Yet he shelled out $62.5 million in 2023 to the U.S. Virgin Islands to settle and avoid any potential claims tied to Epstein's operations there, where some of those funds indirectly supported Epstein's island empire.
The headline should be Leon Black paid Jeffrey Epstein $158 million for services over 5 years as like a tax advisor. This is a story of a U.S. billionaire paying a convicted sex offender hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, with the lending, it brings in $200 million into Jeffrey Epstein. And the report found that he visited Epstein's home in New York multiple times and his other homes around the world as well. In order to, like, what, cut his tax bill by $1 or $2 billion, which even that strikes me as concerning.
The leaked document from the Epstein files from 2026 DOJ releases consists of heavily redacted attorney notes from a May 2023 call. Multiple women accused Black of violent rape, often under the guise of massages. One described 7 to 8 years of sadistic abuse, including vaginal biting, causing excruciating pain and bleeding. Another claimed a brutal assault with head slamming. A third, a developmentally disabled 16-year-old girl with autism and mosaic Down syndrome, alleged trafficking by Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, forced to massage Black naked, then violently raped, causing severe rectal and vaginal injuries. Of course, Black has vehemently denied all involvement, calling the accusations baseless, uncorroborated, insisting he's never met certain accusers. And now the outrage is exploding nationwide because LifeTouch, the company behind school pictures for countless American kids across the country, is owned by Shutterfly, which Apollo Global Management controls through its funds.
The rumors have caused concern among parents around the country.
No one really thought anything of it until we started thinking about, okay, wait, who actually is seeing these pictures instead of just the parents?
LifeTouch, too, has responded, releasing a statement which reads in part, LifeTouch is not named in the Epstein files. The documents contain no allegations that LifeTouch itself was involved in or that student photos were used in any illicit activities.
You want to know who owns those photos, and that's typically done by contract, and what can be done with the photos later between you and the photographer.
Stephen Clark is a South Bay-based attorney. He says it's important to read the fine print on consent forms for things like school photo shoots. Tech expert Ahmed Banafa agrees, especially given the chance of a data breach.
About 5 million pictures being sold on the dark web in 2023.
Meanwhile, in the latest torrent of Epstein documents, Woody Allen and Jess Staley emerge as another grotesque thread in the financier's web of influence. Allen pops up repeatedly in scheduling logs and emails, with Epstein even paying $15,000 for their kids' elite private school tuition. Emails between Woody Allen and Epstein reveal a conversation about cannibalism. Epstein says he didn't just cause heartburn, he ate them. Epstein says hearts. Then Allen says, thanks. Allen says, at least I'm thinner. Epstein says, because you also eat the bones, providing fiber. Allen says, I don't like waste. Staley, the former J.P. Morgan rainmaker turned Barclays CEO, exchanged over 1,000 emails, some laced with creepy Disney princess references and young women's photos.
And so the New World Order is in deep trouble. They're basically done. And we should focus on the files we're suppressing. We should focus on the cover-up, but also focus on what we got.
A financial kingpin, a predator banker, and a legendary filmmaker, all orbiting the same twisted world of Jeffrey Epstein. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're jumping on board with us. Some of my favorite people will be joining the show today, and I'm very excited about that. Matthew Marsden will be joining us actually in this hour. He's an early riser. The guy's got like a whole squad of kids, so he's up at the crack of dawn. So he'll be joining us today to discuss Prince Andrew. We'll go with first UFOs, and then maybe he'll dabble in a little bit of the tensions between the United States and Iran as well. A lot there. We'll also be talking to Rachel O'Brien. Now, Rachel O'Brien is an investigative journalist over at Open the Books, and they've uncovered just a massive amount of fraud. It's going to be quite the enlightening discussion that we have with her, and I look forward to diving into that. The numbers are off the charts. And of course, it has to do with the COVID pandemic. As many of you recall, a lot of fraud happening there, and she's going to map it all out for us in just a little bit. Also joining the show today is Dan Lyman, one of our incredible InfoWars reporters. He's jumping in on the show today to break down an exclusive that he has obtained over at BorderHawk as well. That's the other entity that he works with. And there's a lot that he's got on his radar. Also, there was an illegal alien arrested for causing a fatal accident. He apparently was operating a massive, massive semi, it was a construction vehicle. And then, we got his driver's license that he obtained here in the United States. And it's actually a real ID, which is quite strange. So Dan Lyman will be joining us to sound off on that. Again, we were told that wasn't supposed to happen. They weren't supposed to be able to get those. But we'll see what's going on there. We'll also be talking with Mel Kay in a little bit as well. She's got a lot to sound off on in regards to the Epstein files. And I look forward to having her on the show. Oh, man, a lot happening there. All right, so let's dive into the very first thing. As many of you guys know, we've been discussing this for, days now, but it's been kind of a never-ending pit of information. All these drops coming out from the Epstein files that are obviously very, very important, and we, of course, are going to continue to break it down and keep it going. Because, again, folks, we need accountability here. The New Mexico Attorney General has just recently reopened a criminal investigation into what was going down on Epstein's property. As many of you guys know, he owned that ranch in New Mexico. Yesterday, they announced that they were going to reopen that case. Now, again, this was a case that was previously shut down. It was closed back in 2019 to avoid the overlapping of the federal efforts. That's what we were told. But right now, they've brought that back in. Now, according to a lot of accusations, there might be two female girls, foreigners, buried on the ranch. So as of right now, they are looking to possibly go out there and to find and recover those alleged bodies. Again, this is insane that this has gone on for this long. This is insane that we're just now reopening this investigation. Again, the feds and state officials, I mean, everyone was just working together on all of this. And I get it. They're trying to make things right now. But none of this makes any sense. None of it. None of it. Why would you shut it? We see state and federal law enforcement agencies working side by side on separate investigations all the time.
So the fact that the state stepped away from it because they said that the feds were working on it, that just doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't seem to add up. But again, it's one of the many, many layers to all of this. It's also worth noting that yesterday there was an announcement from Jeffrey Epstein's estate saying that they've agreed to pay $35 million in a settlement. Now, the settlement's actually a class action lawsuit that was filed. It was filed, well, obviously against Jeffrey Epstein, but the victims in this case are, again, young women and girls. The settlement amount would be $35 million if 40 or more eligible victims joined the class action lawsuit, or of $25 million if fewer than 40 join that class action lawsuit. So again, they're just trying to pay out massive amount of money just to get these kids, these women to shut up at this point. That's what this is all about here. I don't even know how you kind of sift through all of this to figure out who's truly a victim and who isn't. But I also don't even know what you do in this situation. And how the heck does Jeffrey Epstein's estate still have millions and millions of dollars to pay out that massive settlement? Probably something worth looking into. Again, this proposed file was done in the Manhattan federal court. And so we'll continue to see if this does get approved. But again, that's just one of the many layers to all of this. It's so infuriating. So infuriating. All right, as many of you guys know, we actually had Ann Vandersteel on the show earlier this week to discuss a woman named Catherine Rumbler. She's a former White House counsel for Barack Obama. And she was also just recently a top lawyer for Goldman Sachs. Now, obviously, she's since resigned. That's what we're talking about with Vandersteel. But the two of them were very, very friendly. Very, very friendly. Apparently, she forwarded Epstein a draft email containing non-public details on White House counsel office investigations, including interviews and findings, while complaining about this being top secret crap. That's a direct quote, by the way. Epstein offered her advice and suggested that she do some edits in her drafts, which she planned to send to a journalist amid ongoing scrutiny from lawmakers and media that even put her in consideration. At one time, apparently, she was supposed to be the AG. That's what the report's claiming now. Now, again, she's not admitting to any wrongdoing. She's denying any wrongdoing, in fact. And she's also openly expressed her sympathies for Jeffrey Epstein's victims. That's nice of her. It just feels like it's never, never ending when you find all these emails. They're all coming about, and we're going to be talking about it throughout the show today because there's all these new drops happening. There was even one, and it's kind of crazy, but this newly released emails show that back in 2016, Jeffrey Epstein was offered the opportunity to invest in a potentially co-own a large it's almost close to 85,000 square feet building complex near the Pentagon, described as a very critical element to all of this. Now, at the proposed price, about $116 million, that would have made him effectively a landlord to the United States government. That's according to the reports. There was another proposal which took place in 2015 involving Epstein, investing in FBI field offices and U.S. courthouses. How insane is that? Folks, they were going to allow this guy to buy access into these bills. I mean, and we're talking 2015, 2016. It truly makes your blood boil. Now, again, those two FBI field offices have been Richmond and Baltimore. This is what was going, folks, this is why everyone's silent. This is why you saw no movement on so many different fronts. I mean, this guy was so heavily embedded in all of this. While in his downtime, he was just raping children. Absolutely sickening. Absolutely sickening. I want to get to clip one. Les Wexner, and I told everyone yesterday when I was filling in for Alex, I was like, man, I can't wait to sit down and watch this whole deposition that he gave. It was a little over 2 hours long. And Les Wexner was grilled by several individuals, but nothing bombshell, I'd say, but in clip one, you're going to hear Jasmine Crockett, who's obviously a garbage human being, as she tries to get Les to kind of implicate President Trump and make the connection as if she ever saw President Trump or he ever saw President Trump really hanging out with Epstein, maybe trying to get some girls, some underage girls. She did her very, very best. Take a listen to clip one.
Did you ever spend time with Epstein and Donald Trump?
Together?
Yes.
I would answer this question accurately. I would go to some of the Victoria's Secret fashion shows. It was very important to the brand. At some of the fashion shows, Jeffrey was there and some Trump was there. And I remember because Trump would always introduce himself to me. And I always thought it was kind of odd that he was at the fashion show because he had nothing to do with fashion. So the coincidence of them being together at an event, it could have been that, but I have no specific recollection. I never had a social or like a drink or a cup of coffee, something, you know, that would put them together.
Okay, so just to clarify, because I want to make sure we're clear on the record, you're saying that you can recall instances potentially where Epstein and Trump were together and you were in their presence, or just a random scenario where Epstein may be there, Trump may be there separately, and then you would be?
It would be at random. That would be accurate. If it happened, but I have no specific recollection.
Okay. Did you ever see or become aware of President Trump having a sexual relationship with a person who was introduced to him by Epstein or Maxwell?
No.
Yeah, so obviously she's trying to pin him down. First off, by the way, what a surprising moment. You mean President Trump like going to lingerie fashion shows to look at supermodels in lingerie? I mean, obviously, this is something we know. He's a heterosexual man. We're not talking about children. We're talking about grown women. His wife is a supermodel. He clearly has a type. He clearly has a type. But they're trying their very best to get him wrapped up in all of this. He is the only one. And again, I don't know why he's doing this whole dance around the White House. This PR nightmare that's happened for the White House is all self-inflicted at this point. But the reality of it is those on the left have been trying their very, very best to go out there and try to connect President Trump to the sex trafficking ring that obviously many elitists were all involved in. But again, our own DOJ can't tell us who was involved in any of that. They just keep kicking the can down the road. Can't ask those questions. Can't ask those questions. Just be happy that they gave you heavily redacted documents. This administration has been a massive disappointment, and I don't want to sit here and tread lightly on this right now because I actually was up. I was up very late last night, late for me at least. I was infuriated. I'm trying to figure out the best way to put it. President Trump signed an executive order that could potentially give. And this is just mind-blowing to me. Bayer, the company Bayer, which makes Roundoff, or I'm sorry, the weed company that creates glyphosate, Roundup. Roundoff is kind of the same thing, though, guys. New name. It's a little early in the morning, guys. A little early in the morning. But I was so angry yesterday. I'm trying to figure out how do I talk about this where I don't sound infuriated. The one thing we were still holding on to just seems to be infiltrated at this point. What am I talking about here? Maha. We knew that all the lobbyists from Big Ag and obviously the pharmaceutical companies, by the way, I would consider Bayer as a pharmaceutical company. They consider themselves to be a health company on their website. So the fact that they're producing a product, which according to several reports, to juries too, it puts you at risk of getting cancers. We know the damage that it does, glyphosate. Like, this isn't a joke. We know. There's tons of evidence about it. For some reason, the president signed an executive order, which now will give the maker immunity. Most importantly, also, it's going to speed up the production, because that's what we really need. We need the chemicals that China has banned from their country. By the way, China makes these chemicals and gives it to us. They don't feed their own people this, of course, because they don't hate their people. We feed it to our people, though, because, well, everyone sells out. And so this is the stance of the White House. They have officially taken this up. And it makes my blood boil, given the fact that we don't need these chemicals in our foods. And yet here we are. Here we are. So when it comes to all of this, yeah, I'm a little fired up. Yeah, I'm a little angry. You know why? Because nobody voted for this garbage. Nobody voted for it. And I'm so angry that we're sitting here pretending like this is acceptable behavior from this administration. RFK Jr., I can only imagine. I mean, we haven't really heard him speak about this because we all know that for a very long time now, RFK Jr. has been fired up on this issue. And this was something that he has spent many years going after this, going after glyphosate, trying to ring the bells about how dangerous this chemical is in our food. But we haven't really heard on him. I saw like a little statement that was pushed on. It was probably written up by a PR person. It didn't sound like him at all. Good news, though, there was a, and this is what the media wants you to think, there was potentially a shortage of glyphosate until President Trump signed the Defense Production Act, which now makes this a national security issue. Because if you can't get glyphosate in your food supply right now, this is according to the White House, we might actually have a food supply problem, which, of course, is national security, and they wrap it all up together and serve it to you like you're a moron. There's tons of studies that prove that glyphosate is actually one of the worst things that a human can actually consume. Why? Because it's meant to kill weeds. And RFK Jr. knows this. In fact, RFK Jr. detailed on how we have devices that you don't even have to implement and use glyphosate at all. In fact, we have lasers that could be utilized, which I would be okay with our government using and paying for help farmers who are low income, so that we're not putting glyphosate in food. It's in everything. It's in everything. Wheat products, breads. Thanks to the great study that was done by the great folks over in Florida, brave Republicans who tested the bread that you buy on the shelf at your supermarkets, glyphosate's off the charts. Americans are dropping dead from turbo cancers. Obviously, we know the vaccines killed so many. And then now we've got this. It's just another blow to the MAHA agenda. It's just another blow to the American people, as if we're dumb to believe that this is somehow, some way, a good thing. I want to play clip two for you because Alex Clark, she's done an incredible job over at Turning Point, breaking down a lot of this MAHA stuff for the American people and simplifying it so that every American can understand what's going on with our food supply. By the way, she's someone who's a very strict eater, organic only, and is very particular about what she puts in her body. She has glyphosate in her body, she was saying earlier too. I saw that on X. Why? Well, because it's in everything, because they are trying to kill us. The companies that are producing the glyphosate are the ones that are trying to sell us the fix on it, just like the vaccines, of course. And everyone's just selling us off. In clip two, Alex Clark had an incredible guest on her program where they broke down the dangers of glyphosate and how Republicans are selling us out. Take a listen.
The left politically is very captured by pharma. Who are politicians on the right primarily captured by?
Just follow the billionaires.
It's big ag, big chemical is what has captured a lot of conservative politicians.
The entire origins of glyphosate was fraud. When the EPA comes out, or when scientists come out, or Bayer comes out and says, it's safe, that we've done a million studies, it's all safe. It's a lie. Because the studies actually show it.
What does unbiased science show about glyphosate?
When people are exposed to glyphosate, they develop cancer, diabetes, endocrine disruption, infertility, lower testosterone.
These are chemical companies that are not American. You've got ChemChina. They want to spray certain pesticides in America that they don't even allow in China. I mean, that is biochemical warfare, in my opinion.
They've realized they're not going to win the public opinion. So they're just going straight for the gullet. They're going after the government. They've introduced all these laws that create a special immunity for Bayer and pesticide makers that says you cannot sue.
And then what happens to American citizens, American families, and farmers?
They suffer. They get no money, no compensation, no settlement, no right to sue. They just get poisoned and there's nothing they can do about it.
For someone on the outside, this really looks like mafia-style tactics. You're talking about isolating critics, attacking credibility, controlling the narrative. Is this still happening, you think, today under Bayer like it was with Monsanto?
Oh, it's worse now.
Do you think that I'm on Bayer's radar because I've been speaking out against glyphosate?
Yes. I'm sure they have a dossier about you, have a battle plan.
This is the most important episode of the year.
Yeah, probably shouldn't be putting that into your foods. Folks, this is what's going on right now. We have these big ag companies. We have these chemical companies. I don't even know what you want to call Bayer at this point. I do know based on their website that they claim to be a health company, one that also handles food as well. This is garbage. This is utter garbage. And our politicians are selling us out. There's no fluffier way to put that for you guys right now. We are being sold out. These people have sold us out. I don't know how many more times I could tell you this. There's a massive issue right now in this White House, and I just don't know what else to say. And I tried to think about how we're going to put this to at least give them maybe a benefit of the doubt. I mean, they signed this executive order and then just moved on, knowing that so many people were going to be outraged by this. This doesn't help Americans. This does absolutely nothing to help Americans. And I'm not going to try to sell you on this. This does absolutely nothing to help Americans. And it's a slap in the face to RFK Jr. Again, I'm sure he hasn't come out to speak about this yet. I haven't seen anything about him speaking since the executive order was signed. But I bet you he is probably foaming behind closed doors right now, so angry that they did this to him. Because I don't even know how you defend this, right? Because he can't now go out there and bash the president for it. These people don't care. They need to be treated like the enemy. Those who are buying off our politicians need to be treated like the enemy that they are. Again, folks, China doesn't even do this to their people. But they give us these products. We're at war on every front. The health front, obviously, this being a major one, and every other one. They're buying up our lands. They're buying up our farms. It's like, how much more of this do you need to see? Florida Surgeon General Joseph Laputo, he's actually really, really incredible. He was one of those that during the pandemic, I appreciated his insight on a lot of these issues because he was one of the first to actually go out there and say, I think this is causing heart issues. Well, he's not backing down either. And in clip three, he also discussed about the dangers of our food supply relying on things like glyphosate. Take a listen.
The counter arguments would be that, it's going to be, if we stop using this or if we reduce how much of this we use, the food system's going to collapse. We don't have a choice but to continue using this. Please remember, that is complete bollocks, okay? There is an alternative to poisoning people. It is not inevitable, okay? Like, it is possible to grow food in a sustainable way that, that doesn't involve folks ingesting stuff that makes them sick. So please, when people say that, just, know that it's complete nonsense for hundreds of years we managed to feed people on the planet without doing it. And this idea that it's inevitable is just, it's just nonsense.
So, just nonsense. Right. It's just nonsense. And anyone pushing it is a treasonous pig and needs to be called out for it. By the way, Congressman Thomas Massie, a lot of people don't like him these days because he's very much embedded in his morals, and that's kind of his compass on how he carries himself throughout Washington, D.C. But Thomas Massie going out there and says that he's going to put forward a bill. It's called the No Immunity for Glyphosate Act to undo the executive order, which should have never been signed in the first place and should be legally challenged. Again, this is his efforts to go out there and to push back on this. And this is why the White House isn't too fond of Thomas Massie these days, because he doesn't get in line. His moral compass tells him what decisions he is going to make. And a lot of people don't like that in Washington, D.C. All right, folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com, because today's the last day to enter to win that contest of those two sick rides. Let me tell you something. Today's the last day. You get 100 entries for every dollar you spend over at the shop. And when you do that, you're entering to win potentially two vehicles and $20,000 in cash. It's a great offer right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. And again, it is that F-250, that Ford Mustang. That is what you could potentially win, plus $20,000 in cash. It's an incredible deal. I see a solid investment over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there and make sure you get something so you can enter this contest. It's an investment in both your health and obviously in your financial future when you do just that. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, methylene blue is incredible, and we have the very best you're going to find anywhere at thealexjonesstore.com. What it's done to my clarity, my mind, my focus has just been wild. My workouts have been so much better. We have the best, ultramethylene blue, at thealexjonesstore.com. Here's what some of the guests on the show experienced when they took it, and Joe Rogan and others talking about my transformation that methylene blue has been a big part of.
How is Alex doing these?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend week. Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight. Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Hey, Alex looks good, man. He lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked, showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something, what a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it, my wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch live right now at band.video.
Well, I didn't shave my beard. I am not Rob Duke. I'm Brandon Morrell. Welcome back to the show. We're excited you're all joining us today. You know, Rob did a great job, though, yesterday filling in. By the way, I will be out on Monday and Tuesday. So for those of you, I know a lot of you reach out on X and share the link and share the show and tag me in it. So just so you know, I don't want to disappoint, but we won't disappoint. There's going to be somebody else filling in for me who's going to be much better. I guess wouldn't be the proper way to say it, but much, much better. So you'll see them, but just to let you know about that little one. I wanted to also talk a little bit about, well, the royal family. As many of you guys know, yesterday, Prince Andrew, former Prince Andrew, whatever you want to call him, was arrested. He was quickly released, though, a couple of hours later. Obviously, we're still waiting to see if there's anything serious here. Yeah, he could possibly face life in prison, but the guy looked like he was waterboarded in there, which I would say is appropriate, given the accusations he's currently facing. But obviously, it was a very rough experience for him. It's mind-blowing to me when we talk about the UK and we talk about the UK being the first government to actually go out there and make a major arrest. This is the same government that has literally allowed thousands and thousands of Muslim invaders into their country, men who go out there and rape their women and children. They don't take that seriously. They've allowed it to happen for decades now. But the Epstein files, Well, now all of a sudden they look like they're more serious than the United States because they are actually going out there and making a arrest. So that's a kind of a win for them. Not so much for us, though. It's kind of embarrassing to sit back and watch. And by the way, this arrest was the first royal arrest in nearly 400 years. That's according to reports. So it's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a big deal. Now, again, he was arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. Now, although his fellow royal members sit there and they publicly go out there and bash him, the reality of it is, well, you guys were all giving him loans, which he was later using for settlements with people like Virginia Giuffre. So what are we talking about here? You had no problem trying to funnel in money to keep these victims quiet. But now all of a sudden we're going to sit here and pretend like you actually care for these victims? In my opinion, I don't think they did. Joining me to discuss is Matthew Marsden. He's one of the incredible contributors over at Blaze TV. He is also an incredible actor, producer, and so much more. And it's an honor, of course, to have him on the show. If you don't follow him on X, I highly recommend you do. Matthew D. Marsden is where you could find him. That's Matthew D. Marsden. All right, Matt, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you back on, especially because it's really, really early in the morning. I was telling our audience that you've got a whole squad of kids, so you are a morning guy. But I wanted you to weigh in on this because obviously this is big news. The UK made the very first, I could say, high-profile arrest regarding the Epstein files. What do you make of it?
Well, firstly, Brianna, thank you for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure. I agree with every single thing that you said. It's been about 400 years since the last royal was arrested. So it's obviously an absolutely massive deal. And yes, it's completely embarrassing to me as an American that the first high profile arrest has been done over in the UK. And again, to your point, they're letting people come in by the boats and seemingly letting off, grooming gangs and raping gangs. And yet they're going after Prince Andrew, or the artist formerly known as Prince, right? He's not called Prince Andrew anymore, but most people just call him Prince Andrew. It is a absolute massive scandal for the royals over there. And I can tell you, like, when I grew up over there, I didn't really care much. I didn't really bother about the royals. I was brought up like a working class kid. So, you know, they're always the aristocracy to me. So I was neither here nor there for or against them. But as I got older, I really got to appreciate the Queen, Queen Elizabeth II. She really was an amazing human being. She served in the war. And most people in the UK love her and loved her. She's obviously now gone. But she was she was a real stabilizing influence in the royal family, because I always remember thinking, why doesn't she abdicate now? Why didn't she give over the crown to Charles? And clearly she knew that she got like a bunch of dysfunctional kids, so that's why she wasn't doing it. And this is, as I said, it's a massive scandal, not only because obviously he's a prince, but you have to remember the way that the court system works in the United Kingdom, that if he does go to court, he's just been arrested right now, but if he does get charged and he has to go to court, the prosecution comes on behalf of the king, right? It's on behalf of the monarchy. So it'll literally be King Charles versus Andrew Mountbatten. So he's against his brother, which is unfathomable for most Brits. So, and again, you got to remember, a lot of people go on and on and on about the royals. Why do we have royals? What's the point? Well, the thing is, one of the main reasons why people go to London and go to the United Kingdom is because there's a real royal family there. It's not Disney. You can really go and see a real palace with a real king in it. And the amount of money that the royals take in or bring in, should I say, for the United Kingdom economy, through tourism is absolutely massive. So this tarnishes the name. I personally feel like they're just trying to get out in front of it. I actually don't think he'll go to jail. I cannot see that in any way, shape, or form. But regardless, Charles is in a really difficult position. I think that what will happen is he's not very well, it doesn't seem. I think he'll abdicate, and I think William will become king. I think that's the way that this is going to play out.
Well, I mean, he can't really cover for this, right? Like, at this point, there's probably going to be more and more evidence that comes about. I mean, it's 3.2 million documents, so everyone publicly is trying to sift through it all. Do you think, I mean, it's really, really rough to do. The connection's pretty solid between both him and Epstein. Also, it's worth noting that according to the latest dump in the Epstein files, that Prince Andrew's ex-wife, Sarah Ferguson, which is the former Duchess of York, was apparently getting payments from Epstein. This is according to several reports. She was only getting payments soon after they both filed for divorce. So that lasted for about 15 years. So that just dropped yesterday. So that's obviously a big one, too. So there seems to be more information coming out about this. But do you think, I mean, it seems like they can't cover for this anymore. Do you think they're going to at least try to push back a little bit, or do you think they're just going to keep letting the PR mess continue to fold out?
I don't think they can cover for it. I mean, like I said, they've done what they can in the sense that they've got out in front of it and they've charged him. And I believe that they charged him with sharing confidential information, not anything else. Mm. So that again, it's one of those chess moves, isn't it? I think that they're looking and saying, look, you know, we went out there, we've arrested him, we've brought him in, which in and of itself is utterly shocking, but I don't think they could get around it. And then where they go from there is puzzling to me. I mean, I can't see if you look at the charges that have been given to these rape gangs and these rapists and these murderers over in the UK and the soft hand they've been given by the judges, you think the judges are going to come in and bring the hammer down on Andrew? There's no chance. I mean, those judges are pretty much aristocracy themselves, many of them, you know, especially when you get up to the higher level to Crown Court, right? I mean, it's crazy. So I don't think anything will happen to him personally. I think that there'll be a big uproar. Who knows what the British government might do to distract us from that? You know, these governments, our government as well, has a history of other things happening to take away from these scandals that are going on. But I think he'll walk personally. I think although it'll be untenable, I think that the British public, although, I mean, listen, they're not coming out and marching in the streets, not in as many as they should do, I believe, about what's going on in the UK with the invasion and the change of culture in the country. So if they're not going to go and do something about that, you think they're going to go and care about what Prince Andrew does? I just don't think so. And so I think that he will walk. I do think there'll be enough pressure that King Charles, calling him Prince Charles because he was Prince Charles for the majority of my life. I think that he will have to abdicate, and then Prince William will step up and become king. And look, I love Kate. I think Prince William's wife is immaculate. You know, she reminds me very much of like Melania Trump. Like, she's beautiful, very well dressed, always puts a good face out in public. And I think that that will be the move that they'll do. It'll be the chess move. And then, hey, you've got another coronation. These aren't the droids you're looking for over here. Let's go and have a party. And England is great. The UK is great. And there's nothing wrong. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, we're going to keep our eye on it. It's kind of crazy. And I like how you just alluded to that the government does do some type of distraction. They do it quite often. Because speaking of distractions, you know, I saw this pop up yesterday and it was just such an eye roll moment for me. In clip 8, you're going to hear President Trump announcing what he's working on in regards to UFOs. Take a listen.
Obama said that aliens are real. Have you seen any evidence of non-human visitors to Earth?
Well, he gave classified information. He's not supposed to be doing that. You know,
so aliens are real?
Well, I don't know if they're real or not. I can tell you he gave classified information. He's not supposed to be doing that.
He made
a big mistake. He took it out of classified information. No, I don't have an opinion on it. I never talk about it. A lot of people do. A lot of people believe it. Do you believe it, Peter?
If the president can declassify anything that he wants to,
well,
so if you want to make an announcement.
Trouble. I may get him out of trouble by declassifying.
We know illegal aliens are real.
Yeah, illegal. Only illegals.
Are aliens real? They're real, but I haven't seen them, and they're not being kept in, what is it?
Area 51.
Area 51. There's no underground facility, unless there's this enormous conspiracy, and they hid it from the President of the United States.
What was the first question you wanted answered when you became president?
All right. So obviously, it just feels kind of, Matt, like a distraction. I don't even care for the UFO argument or the debate or I just don't care. I don't care. But, you know, President Trump has from day one said that he was going to look into this and release information on UFOs. So do you think he's just making good on it? It just happens to be a coincidence in timing, or is this possibly a distraction?
I think all of those things could be true at the same time, right?
Yeah.
My own personal opinion is that there are not aliens. I don't think aliens exist. I think it's bunkum. I think certainly in this scenario, I think what you're going to find out, which is actually a kind of better thing for the government to come out and say, aliens don't exist. What you're seeing is this technology that we have that is so far advanced that you guys should be emptying your shorts. You know, all the enemies of the United States should be worried because we're so far advanced technologically than you guys that we could hit you wherever we want and you wouldn't be able to do anything about it. That's what I think they're probably going to come out and say. I mean, we kind of saw it with the Maduro raid that the US, if the US wants to go in and do something, they can do it. And we've known this for a long time. I think all this stuff is. You know, we've seen it in the past where they're talking about Area 51. That's where they did a lot of testing of the advanced technology that we saw 30 years later. And whatever we think now, if you think about how advanced the F-22 Raptor is, which it's, you know, there's still not a plane to touch it on the planet, how far forward we are from that, how more advanced we are from that technology, because even if you look back, I think the SR-71 was designed in the 50s and came out in the 60s. So, it's still the fastest plane that we know of. So I think that as far as Obama was concerned with that, I personally think he was just talking about what he believes, not necessarily what he knows. I mean, they might say, well, that, you know, we have some kind of evidence of intelligent life or whatever, and that was reported to him. But I think that it's pretty much a big distraction. I think Trump probably went, yeah, you know, just release it, whatever. I don't really care. Let's just get that out the way. Because he really is making historic leaps. I mean, if you think about it, for the majority of my life, I was like, we'll never find out about JFK. And then that was released, and then we just moved on like nothing happened. Well, we're never going to have the Epstein files. He did it. I mean, now I think he should have done it a lot quicker, but and now you kind of seem probably why. I think the American government had to give diplomatically a lot of notice to the people that were in those files, or the countries of the people that are in those files. But I think that Trump is just trying to be transparent. And I think that what we're going to find out is that we have technology that most people couldn't even conceive. And that's what it is. I don't think we're going to be meeting ET anytime soon.
All right. Well, that's good news for me. I approve. Yeah, I'm just so over the UFO discussion. If we could just end it and drop all the documents out there, I'd appreciate that at this point. So people stop asking me for my opinion on it, because I'm just like, I don't know anything about it. But I do know a lot about what's going on right now globally. And right now, the media is sitting here and they're pushing this idea that we might be going to war with Iran very, very soon. Now, again, the White House not really obviously confirming any of that, and we don't expect them to do that. But it does feel like Israel is nudging us closer and closer to getting involved in all of this. And so a lot of Americans are deeply concerned. And it's not even just Americans, though. Your old home, those in the UK right now, are a little on edge these days. And yesterday, there was actually a report that came out claiming, and this was their claims, claiming that the UK has blocked the US from using their air bases, citing possible legal issues. Now, they're worried about the strikes that could take place in the UK. That's coming from the British media. So that's not an official statement coming from the government. That's reports. So keep that in the back of your minds, folks. But I want to hear your take on all of this because, you know, the UK fights with us. They're usually pretty side by side with us in a lot of these issues. But if this report's true and they don't agree with going to war with Iran, then I think that's really telling.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the UK has different reasons why they don't want to go at war with Iran. I mean, you know, you saw the case about the soccer team in, what it was, Aston Villa. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but Aston Villa, the soccer team, basically they were hosting an Israeli soccer team in the European Cup, I believe it was, and and they said, the local police said, no, listen, we've heard that these fans are violent, so we don't want them coming in. And really, what it was all about was the, I mean, everyone knew it at the time. It was because the community that's around that area, which is heavily Muslim, they wouldn't have been okay with the Israelis coming into Birmingham. So I think that the Keir Starmer government is very, very cognizant of the amount of Muslims they have in that country and how they would react to a strike on Iran. I think it's easy for us to say, well, you know, they're doing it for this and that. And I think that, you know, essentially the Starmer government has been very frosty with the United States. And I think that they are more concerned about their own affairs, which every country should be. But I also think that, number one, I do think that the USA is going to hit Iran. And I don't think it's just Israel. I think a lot of people do focus on Israel, but I think that, you know, Iraq was at war with Iran for many, many years. The Saudis have got a vested interest in that regime falling. And also, look, the Iranian people have been massacred in the streets on a daily basis. So there is like kind of a humanitarian side to this. So I don't think it's as simple as just saying, you know, it's one country's influence on the United States. I think there are multiple things going on. And look, the Iranians have been killing American soldiers for decades now. I mean, they were the ones that provided the AFPs in Iraq that killed many, many American soldiers. And this is one of the reasons why Trump took out Soleimani. I have a personal friend that tracked Soleimani for years and years and years when he worked in the intelligence services. And this guy was an evil man and was responsible for a lot of American lives. Now, the other argument is Trump did say we don't get dragged into another war. So I think it's very, very complicated. On another point, Brianna, is that the Iranians have been trying to do covert ops all over the world for many, many years, trying to snatch people, kidnap people. So, you know, and then there's the aspect that they're pursuing a nuclear bomb. And they believe, many of them, I know Ahmadinejad was a 12th. He believed in the coming of the 12th Mahdi. All this is disastrous for the world. So, again, like most global issues, it's a very, very complicated one. But I don't think you move the amount of assets into the region like the United States have. They've moved so many refueling planes over there. People are focusing on what is going on as far as the Navy, but not many people are talking about the amount of, they've put F-22 Raptors out there. They've moved over F-35Bs. They've moved a ton of air power into that region. So I don't see the United States doing that without actually executing some kind of a mission. And I think it's going to be coming within the next 2 weeks. I mean, hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully Iran comes to the table. But again, I think that this administration has shown that when they do something like this, they're going to execute on it.
Yeah, well, they definitely have done just that with Venezuela. So I hear you on that front. We've got about 2 minutes left, though, Matt. I want to ask you, because one of my greatest concerns in all of this, although I believe our military is obviously significantly stronger, the Biden regime put us in a weak position when they allowed just thousands of unknown people into this country. But specifically, when I say thousands, I'm talking about the sleeper cells. Are you concerned about any of that? Because, you know, I haven't really seen the much in the way of reports coming out from DHS saying that they've snatched a lot of these individuals, these Islamists up who have ties to Islamic terrorism overseas, abroad. And so that could be concerning on many fronts. But What is your take on all of that? Because, I mean, again, we don't even have the exact number of sleeper cells. So this could possibly be, I mean, if I say 1,000, it could be over-exaggerated. It could be just a couple of hundred. But what's your take on that?
No, I think it's a massive problem. And why wouldn't they do that? I mean, they've been funneling people over here for years and years. I mean, if you were a hostile entity to the United States, what would you do? Of course, you'd bring people into the country over a porous border. So I think... I mean, we know this. We know, I mean, the people that I've spoken to in the intelligence services have said that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of sleeper cells around the country. So I think it's a real threat. And you're entirely right to bring that up, Brianna, because it is something that I'm concerned about, that when we do hit, which we will hit, in my opinion, Iran, that they'll trigger all the sleeper cells. It's the sleeper cells being activated in the United States was always a matter of when, not if. And all I can say is that, you know, the great thing is the people that watch this show and watch InfoWars, they're totally clued up on these things. So they've got their heads on a swivel, but every American needs to be armed. They need to, really take their own personal security seriously.
Yeah.
and keep their heads on a swivel when they're in public places. And you're right, we haven't seen anywhere near enough deportations. And it's more difficult, you know, when these people come in and the powers that be know that they're armed, that they're terrorist cells. So it's a concerning time, certainly. And I really appreciate you bringing that up, because it's something that many Americans don't even think about. They feel safe because they have these two giant oceans on either side of them, but we've had a porous border now for 20 years.
Yeah.
So you can do the math, right?
Yeah. Well, that's a big issue here, Marsden, and it drives me insane because, again, none of this had to happen in the first place. We had security, and unfortunately, Democrats just allowed, and this was all intentional, allowed our enemies to flood on in. Matthew Marsden, thank you for joining us. Folks at home, if you want to give him a follow on X, make sure you do just that. At Matthew D. Marsden is where you could find him on Twitter, and give him a follow. He's an incredible political commentator as well, actor, producer, very talented man. So make sure you do just that. Matt, thank you.
Thank you, Brianna.
All right, folks, I want to remind you today is the very last day to get 100 times the entries and get a chance, an opportunity to win two vehicles and potentially $20,000 in cash. What am I talking about here? Well, we're doing a contest over at thealexjonesstore.com, and every dollar you spend gets you 100 times the entries. So when you're working on your health and you're trying to improve by, you know, maybe purchasing some of our supplements, I highly recommend the energy shot, of course. But when you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now, you're going to enter to win. And again, every dollar you spend, you get 100 times the entries, and that is going to go bye-bye in a couple of hours. So you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Make sure you do just that. And I can't stop talking about it, but try those energy shots. I'm telling you, it is life-changing over at thealexjonesstore.com.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get them for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before they're hatched. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.